Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to Faithfully Memphis from the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee. This week, as part of our continuing Nurturing the Next Generation series, we're delighted to bring you a conversation between three youth leaders who serve congregations here in Memphis: Gabby Munn from Calvary Episcopal Church, Carter Webster from Church of the Holy Communion, and Amzie Williams from Grace St. Luke's Episcopal Church. Enjoy!
All right, hello everybody. This is Gabby, Carter, and Amzie from Faithfully Memphis. We're going to start off our segment today with a poem, A Blessing of Hope.
So we may know the hope that is not just for someday, but for this day, here, now, in this moment, that opens to us.
Hope not made of wishes, but of substance.
Hope made of sinew, of muscle and bone.
Hope that has breath and a beating heart.
Hope that will not keep quiet and be polite.
Hope that knows how to holler when it is called for.
Hope that knows how to sing when there seems little cause.
Hope that raises us from the dead.
Not someday, but this day. Every day, again and again and again. And that was A Blessing of Hope by Jan Richardson.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
We'll jump right in. My name is Gabby Munn, and I am the Director of Youth Ministries at Calvary Episcopal Church.
I am Carter Webster, and I am the Youth Director at Church of the Holy Communion.
I'm Amzie Williams, and I'm the Director of Youth Formation at Grace St. Luke's, and I teach the 6th grade Bible course at the school as well.
In youth ministry fashion, we're going to start off today with an icebreaker, as usual.
Our favorite.
And our icebreaker today is in honor of our beautiful spring weather. What is your favorite place to be outside in Memphis?
Happy second day of spring.
Oh, happy second day.
That is a great question. I think Memphis has a bunch of wonderful outdoor spots. It's one of my favorite parts about the city is that it feels very green still. And I particularly love the Memphis Botanical Garden. They have just so much open space, and they're also very kind and informative if you want to learn about gardening. I know this week right now, the 21st through the 23rd, and as well through the 26th of the 29th, they have a plant sale. So you can go and actually get some plants from the Memphis Botanical Garden, and they'll teach you how to grow it and the conditions it needs. So I think it's just a wonderful, warm, open space. And I love spending an afternoon there just kind of wandering.
And I think the cherry trees are in blossom. So
ooh,
even more.
Check that out. Yeah. I probably won't grab a plant because I've never kept one alive.
It's fun to see.
I definitely need to get
a look. I think my favorite place to be outside in Memphis that I don't spend enough time at is just close to the river, like downtown, being at Tomley Park or somewhere, especially whether there's no one out there or if there's like Memphis in May going on. I just think that it's just nice to be outside at a special place downtown, and I think it's also because I just don't go down there as much just to like be, so when I'm there it feels a little bit more special than just like being on the Green Line or something. So
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Very powerful to see the Mississippi River every time too.
It really is.
Such
yeah.
a force of nature.
Yeah,
I think I had to echo that. I live in Midtown now, but I really miss my first 2 years living downtown of being right beside the Mississippi River, and there's space to do anything you want down there. I think I spent Christmas Day last year in the middle of the pandemic roller skating down at Tomley Park.
The options are endless.
Options are endless. It's a great place to be.
You can even walk to Arkansas.
You can walk to Arkansas and back, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
Depending on the bridge.
Yeah. Depending on the bridge. Well, today, again, in youth ministry fashion, we kind of have an icebreaker question for all of us. We all kind of do a different variation of this question. Some do highs and lows, rose,
thorn,
and then joy and junk too. Joy,
so, even a poo and woo.
So today we're going to do junk, joy, Jesus, and we're going to just go through those and share where in our youth ministry in particular, those three categories lie.
Yeah, so like Gabby said, it's kind of something that each of us do in our own ministry as a way to just kind of check in with youth or whoever, and obviously the junk is kind of something that we wish was going better or that we could work on. Joy is something that's bringing us joy. And then Jesus is usually where we've seen Jesus in our life or in our own ministry. So we hope that y'all will enjoy kind of hearing some of these obstacles, but also things that are working really well, because it kind of makes up the whole dynamic of what youth ministry is. So so our first one is going to be our junks, which, like I just said, are things that we are working on or like maybe sometimes wish we're going better. And I'll start with my and these are just kind of like overarching themes, or maybe it might be like a smaller, more specific one. But mine is a little bit more big picture of just and I'm sure that some of y'all listening can relate in your own work or ministry, whatever that looks like. But just wanting to do it all, honestly, and finding ways to prioritize the things that are really important, but also having to like take a look at the whole thing and thinking of sometimes those smaller things are what's really important. So it's taken me time to just be able to see that play out, I guess, of saying like, you know, I need to do all this prep work for confirmation, but there's also the big, you know, championship lacrosse game that five of our youth are playing in. And what's more important right now that I, you know, I'm present for that, I'm really meeting them where they are, or is it, you know, getting this email out about confirmation or something, you know, like that. But I think the reason why it can be a quote unquote junk at times is just because it's definitely my mentality, and probably Gabby and Amzie y'all's too, that we want to be able to just do everything and be present for everything. And so I think just finding ways to put things, I guess just prioritizing, but it's helped me a lot to be able to say like, okay, let's look at this week or this month and think about like, okay, I know we've got that coming up or this coming up, but how can I not maybe do it all, but at least look at this and give things a little bit more of a structure. So again, that probably, now that I'm saying this out loud, it probably is relevant for most anyone who's listening in their life. And so, but it has been just one of those things that has been hard for me personally to just find ways to prioritize. But it's a good thing that there's that many great things going on, I guess. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think just to echo on that, it's so easy for us to get caught up in the work world that we exist in. And there is a lot of admin that goes into these types of jobs. But yeah, at the end of the day, we're in a human ministry.
Yeah.
That is what we're here to do. And confirmation is a wonderful sacrament. But also, yeah, those five kids that are at the championship game, that's a also wonderful high moment for them. I think it does make us check what our holy cows are, so to speak, and maybe change them depending on the time and the situation.
For sure.
And it's a good reminder for our personal lives too, of trying to find a balance between being active in the roles of our youth, but also finding time for ourselves and prioritizing our own self-care. I think I find a struggle in that time prioritization as well.
Yes. Yeah. What about you, Gabby?
I think I would have to say sometimes in the past 2 years, especially, I've found myself getting really hung up on numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like just from the admin's side, when you look at your participation, when it goes down, you're, you know, upset, right? But I think it has allowed me to spend maybe some more intentional time with youth and even get to know their families a little bit better, to be able to check in individually and get to know parents even more than I had in the past. Even just navigating our own comfortability with indoor, outdoor, mask, unmask.
Yeah.
So I would have to say not letting numbers get in my head a little bit and recognize that, you know, if it's two or three or four kids, well, at least I get to spend some really intentional time with them and get to know them a little bit better.
For sure, yeah.
I think one of my areas that I feel less so this way now after being in the ministry for 3 years, but when I first started at Grace St. Luke's, I found myself very anxious to kind of dive into the parts of the church community that weren't specifically youth, that I didn't exactly know, or I wasn't programming what was going on, but just going to kind of parish events where the youth are with their families and everyone is in together. And I, as a single young adult, found that that was almost intimidating for a long time. And then also on the other side of it, I'm now so grateful for the intergenerational connections that I've made through the church. Mm-hmm. I think that is something that us young adults don't always have access to in jobs.
Yeah.
If we're going through graduate school with our same grade and we're always around people our age, I think of a few people, particularly Sandra Ireland is mm-hmm. one of our vergers. And she's somebody that just always lights up my day, and mm-hmm. I would never just run into her if I wasn't in this position. So I think that I'm so grateful for that, but also had to really work to be more comfortable in those environments.
Yeah.
And I'm now very grateful to be.
I think that also is something that just like being not necessarily forced or thrown, but having opportunities to be in those situations does give us a lot of confidence too, that I never really realized. But, and I think a lot of this also comes back to just having to say, like, you know, whether it's numbers or meeting, you know, putting ourselves in those situations in the church that might be a little bit more vulnerable, or the stuff like I was talking about with time and prioritizing, a lot of it just comes back to, you know, I think setting our expectations in a way that's like realistic for what's going on. And that's also been helpful for me to just be like, okay, we might only, you know, I might have just spent an hour with one youth talking about like a Spotify playlist, but that's kind of what this is all about, right? Like, there's a lot of Jesus in that moment, and, you know, that can go a long way too. And so, but yeah, MZ, I think that just like, I didn't realize until, not even when it was happening, but until after the fact, I had some time to like sit and think about like how I've grown in this job of, and that's such a big thing of just having to like find confidence as a church person outside of your ministry role.
And I think it's such a life skill that transcends the church, being able to walk up to anybody and start a conversation, sit down at any table and confidently express yourself, but also be open to those around you. I think that's a big thing for sure.
Definitely. Walking into your first Wednesday night dinner, your first big parish event mm-hmm. as a youth director in any situation is always for me the most terrifying, but people are always excited to meet you and mm-hmm. hear you, and I think that's just a learned experience.
And also, now that we're talking about it, it's making me think of just like all of the people who don't work in a church but are feeling the same way, you know. Mm-hmm. If I was a young adult who didn't work in the church, I would still have that same amount of nerves and anxiety walking into to a Wednesday night dinner or something. So I think it's just important. It's nice to think about, you know, everyone is having those feelings, and it's comforting also to be like, I feel this way, but the person next to me is probably feeling a little bit nervous too, and we can just sit with that together. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Most junks are shared junks is a nice reminder. So next up in the Junk Joy Jesus would be our joys. Amzie, do you have a joy of your ministry?
I do. One of my kind of looking back, I was always involved in EYC, involved at summer camp at Camp Bratton Green, and have been in the church my whole life, but I never really considered myself, you know, a church kid or mm-hmm. that I would be in this position after college. But I'm so grateful to be a part of this tapestry of faith that we have. It is so cool to have grown up and loved my youth mentor, who now is the diocesan coordinator for Mississippi and mm-hmm. kind of a mentor for Gabby and I in a lot of ways. And she got to see me become a youth director.
Yeah.
And since then, I've had youth that have been in my program who are now helping out in EYC. And it's just so cool to see it visibly trickle down mm-hmm. And continue. Because there's that beautiful idea of, if you're going through confirmation, there's a key word, apostolic succession.
Yeah.
That the priests are all connected all the way back mm-hmm. to where it all started. And that's just kind of cool that we are too in other ways, that we are all passing along history and art and faith and treasure and these things that are so worthy and beautiful mm-hmm. in this world. And just to be a part of it, a small part of it, is kind of overwhelming sometimes, but in the most beautiful way.
Yes. Yeah. And I think also we talk a lot about giving children and youth that like web of adults in their life that can just be support, who aren't a parent or necessarily like a youth minister even, but people who feel safe and trustworthy. And I think that what you're saying, you know, like having other people from that community stepping in and now helping with the youth group, like all of it just is so relevant, and like what that web of adults is, and how, you know, and those people are connected probably to the people who teach Sunday school, and like mm-hmm. it just all, and it sets youth up for success to say like, look at what I have, and it's been passed down already. And so it is really a beautiful thing.
And that web doesn't go away, right?
Right.
I think that's another thing to remember. I think sometimes maybe youth group can feel like a passing moment, right? You're in it for 6th through 12th grade and that's it. But really, you know, you keep these relationships for the rest of your life. You know, their relationship with you, AMSI, when they graduated didn't stop there. Mm. Our relationship with our youth directors and youth mentors clearly didn't stop when we graduated high school. And thankfully they didn't, because, you know, for me, I'm in this job because of her. And it's cool to see that your web only expands, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, like, literally,
Yeah, and is a lot stronger than we maybe think it is, too, because during COVID, I found that I was particularly grateful to be in a job where we could talk about our anxieties and we could say it is okay to take a beat and share faith. I mean, it made me feel stronger and more connected than if I had just kind of not been able to share those anxieties openly with my coworkers.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'll share my joy because it kind of stems off of AMSI's a little bit. Just the community of it all. And that sounds so like duh, but that is the overall joy for me is just finding is and I guess to go a little deeper with that is just seeing the youth actually get that part of it, because obviously we get it, that's what we're trying to make happen, but when you have those moments where it's like, okay, I think that this is, you know, things are making sense and y'all feel that this isn't just an extension of your school or an extension of something that you have to come to, I've spent a lot of time just thinking about, you know, what's going to make these youth want to come to church when they're not on schedule to Acolyte or when they're not just routine Sunday morning, you know, when is it that, and I even think about it with myself, like at what point was I like, oh, I'm going to that because I want to. And that is and to me, that's where the community kind of comes in, because that's why you want to come back to something. And even if it's 3 people or 25 people or 50, it's still a community of whatever that looks like. And so, but the joy in that is seeing the youth kind of get it in a different way of something they haven't experienced in any other setting. And I also was thinking with the overall just like joys is seeing, and I guess this kind of goes along with that too, of being a part of those like aha moments of whether it's just like a question that you assumed everyone knew the answer to, or which sparks like a really great conversation, or if it's just kind of getting it and being able to be there and be like, okay, like you're going to remember this because I remember when I first figured that out, you know? And so I think those moments, it's really a gift to be able to like be a part of that. And that's the whole like faith journey that we're alongside. So being able to like actually watch those and it's like, okay, we're getting somewhere. So those are my joys. I think aha moments and community. Yeah.
Yeah. I think my joy kind of stems from a little bit of both. Just watching youth ask questions and to watch them ask questions and explore and wonder in really hard ways sometimes. Mm-hmm. One, it just shows like the community that you have built and the trust that is there, but also to provide like a really brave space to wonder about really intimate moments and your faith, which is, you know, inherently a really intimate, vulnerable aspect of your life, just to be able to be there with them and either wrestle together or find the answer or find possibilities is really exciting. We have a post-it note on our youth room wall of Bible questions, and some are, you know, actual Bible questions, and some are if you care for chickens, are you a chicken tender? but to allow them to kind of have that space to wonder about all things is really exciting, and that just I think sometimes speaks to the community. And Carter, when you were talking about the community that you have experienced, it reminded me of a moment where I got sick and a parent of a youth brought me popsicles to my front door.
Yeah.
And it was a reminder that, you know, they're building this community, but we are a part of their community, and it extends past the youth room.
Yeah.
Like it extends to their parents and their grandparents and all of these people that we exist with.
And a lot of like what we've all kind of said in this is just like feeling welcome, like creating that space of just being like, however you are here or whatever you're looking for, whether you have a question, like a crazy thought, or if you're, you know, just feel welcome and know that you are, which I feel like is kind of it's a it should be, I guess, a basis of youth ministry, but it's, again, one of those things that now that we've all kind of done this for some time in different aspects of life in the world, have seen, like, that can happen no matter what, of giving people that welcome, young people that welcome that sometimes we don't even realize that they need. So, yeah.
I think that's very true of also the idea that so much now, 3 years in, I realize we're not perfectly planning the perfect EYC or yeah. the best Sunday school. We are always constantly just trying to provide the environment for them yes. to grow wherever, however they need to grow in the safe space to do that.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes hard, but also the most rewarding thing because mm-hmm. you can't force those aha moments. You can't yeah. force faith or any of those things. Mm-hmm. You can just provide a safe space for yeah. it to be.
Kind of create that environment for success. Mm-hmm. And for, it just reminds me of the gospel from this past Sunday about, you know, care for the fig tree yeah. and if it produces, that's great.
Yeah. You know? And if it doesn't, like, that's
fine.
Give
it
fine.
The yeah. right resources and the right environment and mm-hmm. give it a little bit of hope too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And keep you know? Giving, even if you're not seeing the fruit yourself, knowing yeah. that someone else may see that yeah. fruit later on.
Definitely.
And just believing that at least one thing that is being taken out into the community or being heard and just, yeah, giving ourselves hope in that too, of saying like, okay, I don't know for sure what you took away, but I know that you came here and you felt loved or welcome. And so that's where, and I think it's so helpful that we can all like approach this ministry with that attitude, because it's really hard when you are thinking about, you know, the numbers or mm-hmm. everything else. And so that's where if I, and we might've kind of even touched on this on like the last time we were here, but being able to say like, that might not have been perfect. Yeah. Like you were saying, AMZ, and, but I am confident that everyone who is here left here feeling welcome. And so right. we're doing good.
And maybe when they have a big question or something really yeah. hard to wrestle with, or they're worried about walking into a room and not knowing anybody, they feel yeah. safe and brave enough to do that, you know?
Yeah. You want to talk about Jesus?
Yeah, let's
the man of the hour.
So the last of the junk joy is Jesus, which is usually where we will share a Jesus moment or somewhere where we've maybe seen God in the community. Just a kind of a time to actually sit. I think a big thing that I think about, again, in this job is letting kids have the opportunity to just share their faith a little bit or talk about God, because that's just not really happening a lot in other settings, especially when you're 15 years old. So just being able to say, like, whether it's a tiny thing or, you know, a aha moment that you might have had, and even if, and I always just make sure to say, even if you don't have a God moment or a Jesus moment this week, that's okay too. But at least give yourself the time to think about that and see, you know, because Jesus is in all of the moments. And so just finding a way to connect those pieces to our lives, again, is a good practice for me. So I like to assume that it is for the youth too. Absolutely. And for y'all. So would anyone, do you want to start with yours, Gabby?
Sure.
Okay.
I would have to say, you know, my Jesus is kind of seeing where their gifts and talents shine through in really all aspects of their lives, but to be able to, in my own particular ministry at Calvary, you know, this is my fourth year there, and so a lot of these seniors I met when they were just coming out of middle school, mm-hmm. right, which is always a very formative time in our lives, middle school, but to watch them kind of come into their own and even like really hone in on their talents within yeah. the church. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. you know, there's a couple people who have their gifts and talents are, you know, to make personalized cards and they make them for the whole choir or mm-hmm. anybody having, you know, a loss in their life. But that's just an example of so many that can look in and of itself and it's like, what are my talents? What are my gifts? Mm-hmm. And so to see them kind of shine is really incredible. And
yeah, well, and I think a big part of that too is like, that's one thing to be really talented or really gifted, but it's a whole other thing to be able to look at that talent and be like, oh, I can do something really great with this for someone else, or even if it's just for me, but like, it's not just something I'm carrying around and like doing. Mm-hmm. It's something that I can share. And so, and I think that, you know, being able to be a part of a community that is lifting that up and saying, like, you're an amazing singer. What if you played your, you know, what if you and this whoever plays the guitar performed at the Evensong service, you know? And I literally think that you are, like, working on doing something as I started talking like that. So, but finding ways to, it is, that is such a God thing, or of being able to just, like, lift up those. Yeah.
I mean, it's fortunately really easy to see Jesus in all of the people that mm-hmm. I interact with, especially in youth ministry. Because, you know, we talk about, you know, Jesus flipping tables and kind of bringing things maybe to our focus that we wouldn't have normally seen. But I think youth do a really good job of bringing some things to our focus mm-hmm. that maybe we're overlooking or not doing enough for. And,
they will call you out.
They will call you out.
Yeah.
In sometimes it, and you need just that reminder and
that fresh perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, Gabby and I are roommates, and we have a third roommate who is also an Episcopalian. So we were watching Les Mis recently, and we turned up Les Mis, and we were just blaring it and all screaming along like a sing-along. But we got to the end, and there's that wonderful line that I always forget, and it always hits me time and time again. But to love another is to see the face of God, mm-hmm. which is such a good, just poignant, short and simple mm-hmm. quote. And really made me kind of think about my history in the Episcopal Church and why I'm so proud to be an Episcopalian, why I see Jesus here particularly so strongly, that this is my well of faith that mm-hmm. I draw from. And it goes all the way back to when I was young at St. Peter's in Oxford, and this was before gay marriage was legal, mm-hmm. and they were doing same-sex blessings. Mm. They were fighting politics. There was a church across the street writing articles about our church, saying that we were heathens and all this stuff, but it was like, those people stood up and defended me before I even knew I needed defending. If I had been in a different church, my relationship with faith would have been substantially different, I'm sure. And I just now feel so passionate for our mission in the Episcopal Church of God means all are welcome, all are wanted, and we have such hard work to make sure everybody knows that, because we have such a long history of not being as welcome.
Yeah.
And so I think that is why I see Jesus in the Episcopal Church in that way mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah. And being able to see the youth that we're working with get that part of it too.
Absolutely.
Especially
how comfortable they are talking about pronouns mm-hmm. and all these things that were foreign to me when I was their age.
Yeah.
That it is wonderful they have access and safe space.
Yeah.
And can connect it through faith, because mm-hmm. it's all so connected. None of that is separate.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Just a reminder that the people who are watching, the people who are paying attention, are not just adults making the decisions in the room.
Yeah.
The people that are listening and watching are our youth and our children, and they see when we either choose to make a stance or when we stay silent.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. It makes me proud to be an Episcopalian, but also recognizing that we have hard histories mm-hmm. With a lot of groups that
absolutely
need to be rectified.
I think there's lots of work still to be done, but the fact that we're able to be here today to have these conversations.
Exactly.
We've got work to do for racial reconciliation for all of these areas of minority groups that have been marginalized for so long.
And that we're a part of a larger church that is not only supporting that, but encouraging that work, and like that we feel so empowered to make this a part of our curriculum and ministry and like what we're doing out in the community. It's really nice to feel that like empowerment and to feel that freedom of saying, this is something that's important and I'm going to make it a part of what we're doing and talking about because it's important, but also because it's what the whole church is doing. You know, this is it's literally what we're a part of. So, but that's neat. And that's like such a large part of like where I'm sure you see Jesus at work in your work.
Absolutely.
Every second.
Yeah. It's definitely made me like, some youth ministry is the type of vocation that you don't check out. Like, it's not, it doesn't stop from 9 to 5, but there's such a part of me that's so grateful for that too, that mm-hmm. I'm so surrounded in this mm-hmm. faith and in this ministry that I feel safe all the time because of it.
Yeah, which is huge.
Carter, what you were saying earlier about, you know, what makes these youth want to come back later in life when it's their, you know, their choice, or even to come back on days where they are not signed up to Acolyte or not signed up to read. But I think where we lose young people, youth and young adults in the church, or when their values aren't reflected in the church they go to.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And that's an excellent reason not to be a part of any organization that doesn't reflect your values. And I think what AMC was talking about really speaks to the values that, you know, the Episcopal Church tries to live into. And if they echo, I think that's what's going to keep them here.
Yeah. Yeah. My Jesus moments are probably, it's a little bit more specific, but just the really special prayer moments that I've had, just like in with youth, of course, but when, and usually it's sometimes nothing crazy, or sometimes, you know, just one prayer request that someone might have at the end of just like an early morning Bible study can, you know, make me think about, you know, just, it's a good reminder of where we're all at and where we're all coming from. But I think just prayer is really where I've seen Jesus the most. And I mean, I think of Junk Joy Jesus even as a prayer, or, you know, sitting together and reading the gospel for, if we have, you know, three kids in Sunday school, like we're talking to God. But those moments of, we spent a lot of time in the pandemic of, you know, trying a lot of different things, which I talk about this a lot, but I loved that part of it, of just being like, okay, we can try whatever now. And prayer was a big part of that, especially, and just, you know, doing a lot of like different prayers on videos and things like that. And it's always just a good reminder for me that like, they're talking to God is so important, making time for that. But I think I've just learned a lot too from where, my way of talking to God, it looks a lot different than Gabby and AMC's, and a lot different from every single youth that we work with. And so just being able to, one, talk about that, but also any time that people are like praying in community is very vulnerable to me, I think. And so just being able to like be a part of that every time it happens is, Jesus is definitely there for that. And those are the moments that I'm like, feel that the most, I think. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I say we all kind of came into youth ministry, and it has brought us to places that we really had no idea we would ever be. It's, you know, not something that is on the board of careers at your local high school, and it's not something a personality test is going to give you as
your future. It was not at the
if only.
Not at the career fair. So no. I would love, I mean, to hear a little bit about maybe how you got here and kind of some possibilities and opportunities that's opened up for y'all.
Yeah, I think we all have some like updates on where we're taking our talents and youth minister out of, or however that's going to look for us. But Gabby, Amzie, and I've made jokes that this is like our senior year of youth ministry, or however you know want to say that. But so I am going to, after this year, continue working at Holy Communion, but I have just in like the last few weeks accepted a job offer at Holy Communion to move into the head of programs and hospitality. So which is a direct reflection on the Junk Joys and Jesuses that I've gotten out of this, and taking that into a newer and different and bigger role. So just a little bit more about that. I'll be overseeing each of those departments, children, each of the program departments, children, youth, recreation, and then hospitality. And I think I got to a place in the pandemic year of saying like, I love this work. I love what I'm doing with it. I love everything about it. I love being at Holy Communion, and I'm not ready to go, but I'm definitely ready for a change. And so, and it took me some time to like think and pray about what that looked like. And it came down to just, in youth ministry, we see a lot of like, I picture just like a square, and like we're one corner of that. And I was like, I want to be in the middle of the square, like seeing it all happen. And so that is basically what's happening. And so I'm super grateful for the opportunity and to just kind of see where everything goes, because now I can, we have amazing people that work here that I can work with, and actually take the time to like see how all these programs can work together, but be the best for what they're doing in their own little corner, but how we can do it all in the middle together. So I am excited. So,
and that's such a congratulations, Carter. I mean,
Thank you.
It is so cool to hear how one position can lead to a whole new, or not new skill set.
Yeah.
It can grow.
It can grow.
Really,
yeah.
Grow from it. Yeah.
It can, you know, show you the things you love to do and maybe skills you didn't even
Right.
You had, I know Carter can make an incredible list and check things off so fast.
Love a list.
MZ, what are you doing in your future days?
Well, I'm going to back up a little bit.
Okay.
But I always joked, my mom was always like, when are you going to stop going to summer camp? And I always jokingly said, I'm going to find a way to live at summer camp, which part of me is what felt like youth ministry felt like.
Yeah.
I loved the same just dynamics of energy. And through working at Grace St. Luke's, I was offered to teach the sixth grade Bible class this year, which was a whole new ball game of lesson plans. And now it was kind of refreshing to not feel like I want them to come back because they do want to be there. But there was times where I can sit them down and say, hey, mm-hmm. this is what we're going to learn about today. And it is important to learn these things.
Yeah.
And it feels very, it's such an honor to teach parts of the Bible.
Yeah.
And in doing so, I've learned so much more than I ever knew before.
I'm sure.
And felt like I should have known the whole time, to be honest. But it is the coolest thing. And next year, I'm going to continue to do that as well as youth formation and in stepping into more of an advisor role in the school, too.
Aww.
So I get to kind of help them in the more big picture of where they are as well.
Yeah.
And it has been the most rewarding thing I think I've ever done. And I don't think I would have ever considered teaching as a vocation for me before that by any means. I think that it's just very different than what I experienced growing up in a public high school mm-hmm. in Mississippi. And it's such a cool thing to be able to be in there. But the kids are interested and they want to
yeah.
learn and they're energized. So it's very different than youth ministry, but in some ways it is just as rewarding, if not more.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah. What about you, Gabby?
Well, I will be ending my time at Calvary in May. So I came into youth ministry really just looking for something that felt right at the time. When I graduated college, my plans at the moment just did not sit right with my gut. And I like to joke that the Holy Spirit lives in my gut. So if my stomach hurts, I know something's off. Our youth mentor, Whitney Robinson, reached out about a job. And I told them, you know, this is just a year. I know what I'm doing, and it's not youth ministry forever. So I can give you a year. And at the end of the year at Chapel of the Cross, I looked for another youth ministry job and really just fell in love with what it was. So that's how I got here to Memphis. But the beginning of the pandemic, I entered young adult discernment through the Diocese of Mississippi, which I really wanted to answer the question, what is my vocation? I was not at all interested really in going to seminary. I really wanted to find my vocation in life, where that led me. And after a year and a couple months in discernment with some people that I love and respect and trust, the Holy Spirit, of course, upended my plans. And I'm actually going to seminary the Southwest starting in the fall. So I'm really excited and
yeah.
I'm really sad to be leaving Memphis. I think I've teared up, cried full on a little couple times in this.
I think we all will.
The month. And I'm sure there's just more tears to come.
Yeah.
But really being in Memphis and being a part of this diocese has, first of all, given me so many friends and colleagues and life experiences. And I feel so much more prepared for anything I think comes my way just because of the people I've met and what I've learned here. So that's what's next for me.
Yeah.
I'm sad
Yay.
To be in Calvary. but I'm excited and
yeah.
excited and nervous and all the things.
So your last month there is May?
Yes.
Yes.
Last okay. month there is May.
Well, yes. We are very lucky that you are brave and called to the priesthood because the church is just going to be that much better for it.
Well,
absolutely.
You.
Yeah.
Crying
I'm tearing up a little bit.
But with that being said, there are some positions open in West Tennessee to work with children or youth. So reach out to us if you are hearing this and thinking that you might want to explore a little bit of what that could look like as we transition into some different things. We'd love to get some great people in these roles and keep the good stuff going because it is very fulfilling. And like, hopefully you've heard and taken away that this has only set me up for success. Whether I was leaving Holy Communion to go work, you know, in corporate America or go to seminary, whatever I was doing next, luckily I'm staying here and continuing in the ministry. But I truly believe that I would have been set up for success no matter what, because of the church and the diocese and, just the things that you learn in youth ministry that I really just never would have thought of, but here we are and I'm better for it. So
it's the most fun job you'll ever have.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is, and it keeps you on your toes. You're always, you, no matter what situations you'll be faced with in life, you will be able to respond.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We, yeah.
Flexibility.
Flexibility, for sure.
We got
sure.
it down, yeah. Well, this has been so fun. I hope y'all have enjoyed hearing kind of a fun way of talking through some different parts of youth ministry, but also how we've managed to work around some of those struggles, but also find the joy and the Jesus in it all. So,
and if anyone out there has questions for upcoming youth events or our plans for the summer, please feel free to reach out to any of us. Mm-hmm. We love to talk about it, obviously.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Okay, well, thanks everyone, and we hope to see y'all, talk to y'all soon. We're around.
Peace, y'all.
Happy spring.
Thanks for listening to Faithfully Memphis, a podcast from the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee. We invite you to share our show from today with a friend who may not have heard it. If you like our show, please leave us a positive review on Apple Podcasts. This really, really helps us. You can learn more about the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee, including finding an Episcopal church in our diocese, on our website, edwtn.org. We're also active on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks.